all fully armed. Judas kissed Jesus and he was arrested. Someone, we don't know who, chopped off the ear of the high priest's slave. And it was at this point that Jesus' followers fled. We're now moving into Mark's story of Jesus' death. As Christians, we bring preconceptions to this story because we know the end result. Perhaps most of us understand that Jesus died for or because of the sins of the world. For a lot of people, Jesus' crucifixion was payment for sin. This implies that Jesus' death was necessary and that it was part of God's plan. Now that may or may not be so, but that understanding is not found in Mark, which of course is the gospel that we're studying at the moment. So we really have to stick to that, the information that we get from that gospel. See, Mark's gospel, as we found out through the weeks, is full of metaphor as well as history. So what in this passage is historical? Well, Jesus was certainly executed in Jerusalem at the time of the Passover, executed by the Romans with the approval of the Jewish leaders, the religious leaders. As Mark told the story, he also gave it a metaphorical meaning. Now, it's often said by people who want to get at the Jews that it was they who killed Jesus. In all of the Gospels, every one of them, the four Gospels, it's made quite clear that it was the temple authorities, those who collaborated with the Romans, who condemned Jesus. We read that the evidence put forward was largely invented, and they couldn't agree about any of it between themselves. They declared that Jesus had said he would destroy this temple and in 3 days build another one, not made with hands. This was actually a garbled version of Jesus' words when he said to one of his disciples, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left, all will be thrown down." That, if you remember, was because it had become a den of robbers. The high priest decided he'd had enough. I think he was getting a little bit scared that it wasn't going to go to plan. So he shut it down and went for a confession. They asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" In this version, in Mark, he gives Jesus admitting that he was. Both Matthew and Luke give a more ambiguous answer. They say, "Well, that's what you say." But Jesus gave the answer, "I am," in Mark's gospel. How accurately historical was the trial? I don't know. I wasn't there. Would the temple authorities, I wonder, have met on the night of the most holy day of the Jewish year, Passover? Probably not. What we do know, and is worth repeating, is that Jesus was condemned to death by collaboration between the temple leaders and the Roman occupiers. Again, I emphasize that the temple leaders are not to be confused with the Jewish people. The Jewish followers of Jesus were mostly on his side. That's why the authorities needed Judas. I suppose most of what I've said so far might be regarded as largely historical. And it's reasonable, I think, to ask the question, why did Jesus die? It's easy for us to give the stock answer, Jesus died to save us from our sins. I again point out that we're studying Mark's gospel, and there's no evidence for that in his writing. Jesus died because of the failings of his closest followers. Judas betrayed him. His inner circle of disciples were too weak to keep awake and wait with him. His followers left him stranded. Mark even gives us that wonderful picture of a vivid image of an unknown young follower fleeing naked into the night from the scene of the arrest. His cowardice, if you like, exposed for all to see. Peter goes and sits with the guards, ready to take advantage of their protection. Jesus died because he was betrayed. He was deserted and denied by his followers. And Jesus also died because he made enemies. The chief priests and scribes had been planning all his career, if you like, for his arrest. And they planned this arrest under cover of darkness, leading to a sham trial in the high priest's courtyard. But he died also because of his self-giving love. All through Mark, we've had a racing account of Jesus' very active life. Suddenly, it changed. Jesus went quiet. He became a passive victim. It seems to be true that Jesus died because he chose to give his life for others. We've found all the way through this series that the Gospel of Mark can be understood at so many levels. Is there anything metaphorical about this passage? As you know from previous sermons I've given, I do believe that most of what's written has a story behind it. What can we learn from this passage? I think Mark's telling us that those who claim to follow Jesus are all capable of betraying him and deserting him. The professionally religious, like the scribes and Pharisees, are in danger of acting to protect their self-interest rather than promoting the kingdom of God. Yet, in spite of the temptation to throw in the towel, I'm sure that was very tempting for Jesus. Jesus stood firm. Not in an aggressive, forceful way, but gently. In some way, that's certainly a lesson for us. Because more respect is gained through gentleness than through violent argument. We should all be prepared to answer that question. Why are you nice to people, even those who dislike you? The answer should be because that's what Jesus would have done.